You're listening to a podcast by the United Nations Research Institute for Social Development.
So now let me turn to our keynote speaker, José Luis Corradio. I did introduce you briefly and you disappeared, but as I said, he's the director of a master's program in social economy at the General Sarmiento National University in Argentina, and also, I think, importantly for many of you, the director of what very interesting a Latin American network of researchers on social and solidarity economy. An economist by training, he's written very extensively on the social economy. I think there are some display copies of books over there with very interesting sounding titles, so I think we'll all be encouraged to read them. And I would just like to welcome you. We look forward to what you have to say and to your engagement in the conference. Thank you.
While we wait for the PowerPoint, I don't love PowerPoints, but I have to use one. I thank Sarah Cook, the director of the UNRIS, and Guy Reeder, the director general of ILO, and Peter Utin for having me here and for organizing this meeting. I am always... For me, it's a pleasure and an honor to share with Paul Singer. And I will have I have the problem. I don't like to speak in another language. I'm sorry, I cannot speak in Spanish. And you will be even more sorry than myself to trying to understand what I'm trying to say. Peter asked me to make first, unfortunately Jean-Louis Laville cannot be here, to first try to put a conceptual framework and then to speak about Latin America. So the conceptual framework, I think we had to start by defining what we understand by economy, if we are going to speak of social and solidarity economy. We can all agree that the economy, the economic system, has to do of about how we organize the production, the distribution, the interchange, circulation, and consumption of goods and services. That's very easy. Now, the problem is, what is the aim of the economy? What do we think it should be the aim of the economy? We have at least two positions. One is that the economy has to guarantee the liberty of everyone for private enterprise, and this has been institutionalized as a market economy. The values that accompany this position are individualism, utilitarianism, competition, limitlessness, the social irresponsibility, because you have to take care of your profits or your results. And there is a second position that says what we have to do with the economy is to guarantee that everybody has access to the means of life for a dignified social life. The values are different. They are solidarity, as in social and solidarity economy. We look for a plurality of motivations, not only utilitarianism, cooperation, prudence in the use of resources, social responsibility, and positive freedom. Of course, all economies organize following a set of principles, a different hierarchical order of principles, including, of course, the distribution of wealth, the possibility of producing for self-consumption, the circulation through networks, like in commerce, like in just commerce, for instance, of reciprocity, the consumption. It could be consumerism, or it could be responsible consumption, for instance. The first position or the first alternative is the market economy. In the market economy, we have those that are now pushing for a more market economy. They think that we are arriving to the end of history, because they see an evolutionary path towards a market economy and a society made up of individuals. The only principle they put in the center is the market principle, not only as a motivation, but also as a coordination of the economy. They postulate that the market is the only feasible and the best way to organize an economy, and they make of GNP growth the main indicator of the efficiency of an economy. Nowadays, we have the neoliberal attempt to approach that utopia of the perfect market, and its strategy of globalization is producing the disaster, social and ecological disaster that we are facing today. So we arrive to the conclusion that we need another economy, not the market economy, for human's sake. Now the question is it possible to have another economy? So we go to social economy. Yes, please. The approach of the social economy is that all economies are historical constructions, that they don't follow an evolutionary path, like, for instance, underdevelopment to development. That each society can institutionalize its economy, combining a set of principles, not only one principle, not only reciprocity, for instance, and most of all, not only the market principle. That this construction is not easy, that is done in a, within a power structure and starting with a situation that in many cases are not favorable to this. There are many solutions to the economic problem. There is not only one. And we define the economic problem not as maximizing and using efficiently the scarce resources in order to have profit or to have GNP growth, but as the how to guarantee the reproduction and development of life with dignity for all. Like the Zapatist said, we need an economy, we need a society where everybody can have a place, where we have no excluded persons. The economies can be and should be economies with market, but not market economies. It is that the market should be subordinated to the social, to the kind of society we want. Yes, let's continue, please. Now, if we go to the concept of social and solidarity economy, we will say that it is necessary that the relations of how, why do we call it social and solidarity economy? We mean that if we are going to build a society where everybody can be included with dignity, the solidarity is a principle, one of the main principles of organization. Now, I distinguish three levels of solidarity. A micro level, it is the micro organizations of the social and solidarity economy, like a cooperative, like a network, which is the solidarity is internal to the organization. The workers that work in a cooperative, they are solidarity among themselves, but not necessarily they are solidarian with the rest of the, even the cooperatives. Here we have the, as economic units, the workers' households. We think this is a very meaningful economic organization that is not included in the usual list of economic organizations. The communities, the Indian communities, the Afro-descendant communities, and new communities, cooperatives, mutualities, etc. Now, this is at a micro level. There is a meso level where we have organic articulations between the microorganizations. There we can have a more complex form of solidarity and solidarity with the other, where, for instance, we have a network of cooperatives, we have a network of different forms of economic organization, and where we can have synergy. And then we have a third level, which I would say is the systemic level, where solidarity is embodied in many structures, the state structure, the private sector structure, and the popular economy, as we'll see, where civil society and state are fundamental. Solidarity economy is usually, at least in Latin America, associated with the popular economy. So we discuss, are the popular economic organizations solidarian, or are they competitive, are they individualistic or not? Some people think that the popular sectors are solidarian by themselves. Nevertheless, we think that we had to think in terms of a mixed economy, where the sector of social and solidarity economy must include the public sector, the public economy, the popular economy, and the private sector economy. I'm now drawing somehow this mixed economy. You have the green, which is the public economy, which is supposed to be aimed at the common good. I said supposed because many times it's the accumulation of political power what organizes the public resources. Then we have, of course, the private enterprise economy, which is aimed at capital accumulation. And we have the popular economy, which is aimed at the reproduction of life in the better conditions possible for the members of this organization. The household is the best example. The household has a multiple strategy: production for self-consumption, production of goods for the market, hiring of their labor capacity, community work is a mixed strategy to survive or to have a good life. And when we have to draw the solidarity economy, is in the center of this mixed economy, and then we see that part of the popular economy is solidarian, part of the public economy is solidarian, and also part of the private sector, the private capitalist sector, can be solidarian. Examples of popular economy, solidarian popular economy, are, for instance, the cooperatives, the associations, the network of producers to sell together, etc. The ones I was saying before at the micro level, and also we have the public sector is has to comply with the principle of redistribution, which is present in every economy that we know. And this principle of redistribution has to do, for instance, with the fiscal system, where you take of the ones that have a lot to the ones that have nothing. The health policy, education policy, the transfers of income are ways of redistribution. And this is kind of a structural solidarity. And then we have the private sector that might have philanthropic ways of solidarity. Also, we have the social enterprises that are a mix of solidarity economy and the enterprise system of organization of the economy. And we have examples there. For instance, when we cross the state sector with the popular sector, we have participatory budgeting, where the people can discuss how to use the public resources, etc. I had to go quickly, so I cannot get into any more details. Please. Now, we go to Latin America. What is the point of departure of Latin America? We had to take care of this. It's not the same that in Africa, or of course not like in Europe. We have been an early laboratory of neoliberal policies. It started with the dictatorship of Pinochet in 1973. It continues with the 1976 dictatorship in Argentina. We have the Chicago Boys telling our countries what to do with the economy. They open the markets, they liberalize the economy, they privatize the economy. No solidarity there. We learn a lot. We would like that lesson would have been learned before by the rest of the world. We had structural problems before the neoliberalism. We were in the way of trying to develop according to the evolutionary possibility of getting a structure like the so-called developed countries. We had very limited social rights when we started with neoliberal policies. They fight again explicitly against the system of rights. They wanted precarious labor. They wanted no longer. They then want syndicates fighting with the. For the rights of the workers, and this was explicit. They wanted precariousness, not long-run work with rights. We ended with a massive structural poverty. At the beginning, the international organization think this was temporal, and they have programs for a temporal unemployment. Then they learned this was structural, and it was going to be on for many decades, and maybe for always, they think. There was a lack of a generalized social security system. We have a profound social fragmentation, a concentration of wealth, inequality, as was said before. We have a weak state and a large rural and urban informal sector. I want to clarify here, for us, informal sector is not the same that the popular economy. The economy of the workers, the popular economy has a sector of informal economy, but also the private enterprise sector, and even the state sector have informality. We have lost the complexity of our economies, the industrialization. It was not the same. It's difficult to speak of Latin America. There are many differences, different cultures, different stories. It was not the same, the dictatorship in Brazil, than the dictatorship in Argentina regarding what happened with industrialization. We ended up under the pressure of the external debt, pressure by the international organization like the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, to enter into competitiveness, what Cepal call spurious competitiveness, because it was at the cost of lowering salaries, of making precarious the labor relations, of ending with ecological equilibrium. And we have lost sovereignty. Yes, please. Now, starting with that, with the end, it's not ended, unfortunately. Neoliberal policies and neoliberal values are everywhere, but now we are having a defensive, maybe a constructive reaction to that. What kind of social and solidarity economy do we have now in Latin America? As I said, it's very difficult to speak of this for all Latin America. We would say there is no paradigm. There is no model. We don't say cooperatives are the model. We don't say mutualities are the model. We don't say networks of selling together or micro enterprises are the model. There is a variety of forms of organization which are solidarian in the sense I said before. I think it's useful to say we have three, in Latin America, we have three levels of practices by civil society and by governments. The first is to promote individual undertakings. The second is to build an organic subsector of social solidarity economy. And the third is to engage in a systemic transformation. Now, we don't have to choose. This is not an option. We need the three levels. Sometimes it predominates the first level, but then we need a strategic view of the third level, for instance. And we need, from the point of view of efficiency, the second level of organization. Yes, please. Let's see the first one, the promotion of individual undertaking. For instance, Argentina, Brazil, and most, let me say this, I'm taking five countries to make a reference, Argentina, Brazil, Bolivia, Ecuador, and Venezuela. Not because the other countries are not important, but these are the ones I think are more distinguished in relation to this subject. Argentina, Brazil, and most of the other Latin American countries participate in this idea that you can promote individual undertakings to reinsert, to insert, or to include people in the market, the same market that excluded them. As a matter of fact, if we look at how this appears, it is a continuation of social policies. The neoliberal social policies focus in the poor and the extreme poverty. Now, they realized that it was not enough to distribute food, to distribute even income transfers, that it was necessary to create new jobs, to create self-managed and associative forms of economic. So the idea is to have a productive insertion of a small associative micro-enterprises, which at the beginning was were seen as a reinsertion, as I said, waiting for wage labor. The idea was that wage labor was coming sooner or later. I think this idea is no longer there. There is in this process, there is a culture of internal solidarity. For instance, the condition for receiving subsidies for this kind of micro-enterprise is that they are not individual, but that they are associative, at least three, four, five people associating in creating these new forms of economy. Self-management and association is important. None of these programs is pointed to economic relation where there is a patron, how you say, the owner and the wage labor. I mean, this is like a cooperative organization. There is solidarity, but very limited with the other. Each association, each organization is asked to be solidary internally, but not necessarily to the rest of the economy or the rest of the same kind of organization. Eventually, it appears the problem as we better organize as a change of value, but this is a kind of extension of the same strategy. Microcredit is a very important instrument here and is all over Latin America. Is sometimes supported by the state, and in that case, the rates of interest are none, are zero, or very low, and also by private organizations like NGOs, and sometimes they have an 80% or 100% of interest. So it's not cheap to have microcredit. And now the banks are interested in microcredit because they see that the poor pay and pay better than the rich. And it's becoming a business for profit. Now, state and NGOs are the main pushers of this kind of organizations. Eventually, the same syndicates, in the case of Argentina, one of the centrals of one of the syndicates have included the defense of the rights of those that do not have employment. The CUT in Brazil has included this among its objectives to help create this kind of organization. But in general, syndicates are worried about their workers. they even don't want the competition of this kind of popular organizations. Continuing with this, we find that the paradigm of these policies is the private enterprise. If you see how they educate the future entrepreneur, collective entrepreneur, the criteria is the same of an idealistic capital enterprise. How they define efficiency, how they measure the resources, how they define sustainability. So we are, these policies are within the culture of capitalist enterprises. There isn't much empirical, we find there is much dynamic, internal dynamics in this organization. They tend to be, if they are left alone, they tend to be quite static. And this is insufficient to solve the structural crisis. It's insufficient because you cannot have hundreds of thousands of this small organization. There is no real capacity to organize that much organizations, small organizations. There is also a problem of identity. Who are, how they see themselves, the workers of this organization, social and solidarity organization, or at least solidarity organization. We have found through research that at the beginning they say, well, this is not a work. I'm being helped, but the real work is to have to work in a factory where they pay me a salary. There is also the stigmatization from the rest of society of this work. They are not being considered really real work. I'm not talking about cooperatives. I'm talking about these small enterprises that are being pushed by these social policies. There is much influence of the Catholic Church and this idea that you have to concentrate and be good to the poor. I would say the social and solidarity economy is not made only for the poor. They morally, they have to be in a first priority. But social and solidarity economy is for everybody. I mean, if you look at some cooperatives, you have medium sectors, you have professionals, you don't start with the very poor people. There is a fight there or a struggle between a more clientelist approach, because this is distribution, this is help, and those that say we had to work towards emancipation, and we need a bottom-up process. Now, most of these small enterprises have the so-called sustainability problem, viability, as it was said before. How they can survive in the market? Do they need subsidy forever, or can they just be sustained by their own economic production? Then we have a second category, which is, I would say, partial attempts to build social and solidarity organic complexes. We found some of that in Brazil, I would say. You find it in Bolivia, in Ecuador, in Venezuela, unfortunately not in Argentina, where there is a wider scope of solidarity, although it's mainly utilitarian. I mean, you get solidarian because it's better for your economic purposes. This includes the creation of a synergic local context at the same time that you promote individual undertakings. Complementary value chains, networking, relations with the local communities, working through territories. For instance, you start asking first, looking for a community that is organized. Second, that they have to say together what are their needs, not their demands, their needs. And then we can say what kind of activity will be viable because they have a real demand in the community, not like making an enterprise and then looking who is interested and to whom you can sell. You know these undertakings have a limit in the context, and so the idea here is that you create the context, a solidarian context, based in solving the needs of everyone. A solidarity articulation of the elements from all sectors. I mean, you need a local government that is involved in this kind of policy. You need at least a sector of the private enterprises to be involved in this, and also, the popular economy. We talk here of the solidarity of local financial system, not of microcredit by itself, but of a building system of financial solidarity. We talk of networks of barter, which is a very important institution of solidarity economy, and also social currencies. Please. Continuing with this, we need for this a more integral policy, not that you have different policies that land in the community territory, but that the community can say what do they need, what kind of education, what kind of health, what kind of credit, etc. Here there is the possibility of the emergence of collective actors. Here you have the possibility of the co-construction of public policies and the definition of legal institutions. We have some examples here. I think Brazil is going ahead, well ahead, and Paul Singer is responsible for that, in the co-construction of policy of solidarity economy. We have identities that are not so vulnerable because there is this synergy. In the background, you have an influence of the ideas of Freire's pedagogy of liberation and of the theology of liberation, the idea of a bottom-up process, the idea that you need an emancipatory project and not only how you have an income and how you are included in the market. Here, a main problem is not only the sustainability of private undertakings, but the sustainability of public policies. Are these public policies going to continue with new governments? We have experiences where change in the government ends with these kind of policies. Yes, please. And then we have the more complex idea of a systemic transformation. We find that only, unfortunately, in Bolivia, Ecuador, and Venezuela. Here you have a political and a cultural project of a structural transformation with wide popular support. In all these cases, mostly in Ecuador and Bolivia, social movements were in front of the structural change. They are responsible for putting national and popular projects, governments in place. Here you have a strong redistribution of land, mean of production, knowledge, and income. Sometimes when we speak of social and solidarity economy, we don't include the redistribution of land. This is the agrarian reform, the urban reform, a major reform of the education system, of the health system, of the security, social security system. And you have here also processes of market reform and regulation of the market. These countries have negotiated the external debt strongly. Also, Argentina and in some way Brazil have, for instance, they have disconnected from some of the international organizations that were pushing for neoliberal policies by paying the debt to the World Bank or to the International Monetary Fund. And they know that there is no way, not only of a private small undertaking to survive, but of the whole social and solidarity economic system to survive unless we have economic integration among countries. So there is a big push where Argentina, Brazil, and most of the countries have been following, like Mercosur, UNASUR, ALBA, and the CELAC, which is more a political organization that is competing with OAS, for instance. There is a major return. The state is returning in these countries. For instance, they have nationalized key industries, and mostly the ones that are strategic, but also the ones that grab the international rent, petroleum, mining, or agrarian activities, which, given the prices, favorable prices in the world market, are receiving a lot of international rent. So these states are taking that rent to redistribute it as part of the solidarity economy. There have been major legal reforms and new constitutions in this country, new mandates given by society, by social movement, of what economic system should be. There is then a structural solidarity, a major redistribution of resources, and reciprocity-based social security system, which is a very important part of a social and solidarity economic system. A cultural revolution is attempted. So we don't speak of development, or some people speak of development. We speak of buen vivir, of vivir bien, which is a proposition of another civilizatory project, which is discussing, which is criticizing the Eurocentric development idea that economic growth is on the basis of welfare and that you have to grow and you have a growth in the GNP, and that's the condition for welfare plus some redistribution. For instance, the Mother Nature is a concept that is used, which is, of course, based on the tradition of ancestral communities, peoples, and in the constitution of Bolivia and Ecuador, you have nature. In Ecuador, we say, nature has rights, and those rights has to be defended. So it's a position against extractivism. You use nature to solve the human economic problems. There is a convergence with social movements. It's not the matter of creating a social and solidarity economic movement. You have that in Brazil, and I think it's quite relevant, but the idea in these countries is that you have to converge with another social movement, the new social movement, like the gender and feminist social movement, the peasant movement, the decolonializing movement, environmental movement, human rights movement, and the question is how you convince the leadership of these movements to introduce in their agenda the construction of a social and solidarity economy. The World Social Forum is an example of this search for a convergence. Here I have, I think I will have to skip this. How am I on time?
Coming to the end.
Now here you can have for these countries, the idea, in Bolivia they call it plural economy, in Ecuador social and solidarity economic system, and this is in the Constitution. The Constitution said that the economic system has to be social and solidary. In Venezuela, they can call it, it depends, social economy or popular economy. And the list that follows are the forms of economic organization that are recognized in this constitution. Not only private enterprise, not only cooperatives, but other forms. For instance, in Ecuador, it's recognized the domestic economy. And it means that policies will be directed to the economy, the domestic economy. You know that if you measure the market value, the so-called market value of the production in domestic units, you can increase statistically and really recognize they produce about 30, 40, 50% of GNP, which is not measured. So this is a very important part of the social and solidarity economy. And also you have, for instance, new ways, new forms of solving the needs of the people, like in Venezuela, the missions, where there are big campaigns by the mobilizing masses of people to solve the education problem, the health problem, the problem of lack of work. And also in the constitution of Venezuela is recognized explicitly fair trade and social currencies. Yes, please. Here we have a list of the principles that you find in the constitutions. I will not go through that, but the market principle is one more about a list of many principles. Yes. To sum up, I would say most countries in Latin America apply the idea of capitalism of the poor. This is part of the new neoliberal policies and is everywhere. They look for individual or associative insertion in the market by means of the development of an asset portfolio for the poor, seed capital, microloans, capacity creation, education. Now, with a mix of social and solidarity economy variants, Argentina, Brazil, Bolivia, Ecuador, and Venezuela have experienced a return of the state and a recovery of sovereignty. They all withdrew from the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, or at least they don't receive the missions to say what to do. They have introduced major income redistribution policies. They attack the poverty through redistribution, but also through these social and solidarity undertakings. Argentina, for instance, has restored the reciprocity-based social security system. It has been privatized, like most of the so-called developed countries, and many people lose their savings in the middle of financial crisis. Now we have a reciprocity-based state-promoted security system, as we have before. Bolivia and Venezuela have progressed with the redistribution of land. Unfortunately, Brazil has not, as it should. It was promised. In Argentina, nobody speaks of agrarian reform. Brazil has made progress with the construction of policy for a solidarity economy. I think it's an example in that. And as I say, Paul Singer is very responsible for that. Yes, please. Now, this is not easy task. In the future, we have many questions, many pending matters, which are conflictive and are of a political nature. For instance, the how much Mother Nature and how much extractivism you can have in one of these processes. For instance, you have a struggle now in Ecuador and in Bolivia because many and several ancestral communities do not want petroleum or mining to occur in their territories. And the governments want to push that in order to have rent for redistribution. Is this a contradiction between particular interests and general interests, or are these communities representing better the general interest? I don't have an answer. I think this is a contradiction, and we have to look forward in each country to see how we solve that. There is a problem with verticality. All of this, not Brazil, probably, but in the other four countries, there is a strong presidency, very strong presidency, leadership. One of the variants of populism, where the presidents want to meet directly with the masses and they don't want intermediate social, civic society organizations. So this is a problem when you want to solve a different economy. It's you cannot build, I would say, a social and solidarity economy without true democracy, with true participation of the majorities. There is a problem of how much initiative will have the state and how much co-construction of policies. Maybe you have moments where the state had to be take the initiative and to create the condition for the co-construction policy. Sometimes this comes from the bottom up. The problem of the discussion about the capitalist system. Are we working to increase the insertion in the capital market, or are we proposing an alternative to capitalism? Here you have the contradiction between this big task and political pragmatism, short-term pragmatism, because you have election every 4 years, and people want results. It's not easy to say we are fighting for a change in the world paradigm. It will take 50 years to get there. The making of a social and solidarity economy has to be shared by the people. Is this plausible? Is there credibility for this proposal? Is this accepted as a new way of creating jobs and satisfying needs? The possibility of solving this is that showing that there are many examples. This is not a model that is utopian. You have already in the reality many, many examples of social and solidarity economy. We have to show them, we have to systematize them, and this is very important for this political and cultural struggle. The problem of timing, how long it will take to see the results. I would say 30 years maybe, when you speak of a system. Industrialization in Latin America took 30 years, at least. The neoliberals changed the economy in 30 years. Well, why not 30 years for social and solidarity economy? Of course, with the results in the past to that. As I say, there is a matter of how you include these economic objectives into the agenda of the other social movements. There is a problem. Will this government last enough? Are they sustainable? What would happen if in Venezuela the government party would have lost? What happened if in Argentina or in Brazil or in Ecuador they lost the elections? Probably this idea will not continue because society still has not these aims embodied in them. I think, yes, please. And this is all. I thank you for your attention. Thank you very much.
Check out our other podcasts available free on the iTunes Store. For more information, go to our website, www.unrhys.org. Thank you for listening.